We continue now with tales of the Baal Shem Tov. Today we will relate about the Baal Shem Tov in his earliest youth. When the Baal Shem Tov was but 5 years old, his father, the Tzaddik Rabbi Eliezer, passed away. On his deathbed, in his very last moments, Rabbi Eliezer said to his young son, Yisroelik, he said to him, "My son Yisroel, do not fear anyone or anything in the world except for God Himself. Love with the entire depth of your heart and with the flame of your soul every Jew, without exception, whoever it is and however he behaves himself." And indeed, these words served as a foundation for the Baal Shem Tov throughout the years of his life. As the Baal Shem Tov himself related once in a letter, and it's printed in Hatomim, that "I was 5 years old when I became orphaned from my father and from my mother." And as just mentioned earlier, that the Rabbi Eliezer, the father of the Baal Shem Tov, had said to the Baal Shem Tov, Yisroelik, "Do not fear anything, only the Almighty Himself." In conjunction with the command of my father, the Baal Shem Tov says, I very much desired to go to the fields and to the forests, the very deep forests which were close to my city. When I would finish my studies in Cheder, in school, I would go to the field, and there I would repeat by heart that which I had learned in school that day. Quite often I would sleep in the field or in the forest, and so this conduct went on for approximately 2 years. Once, coming to the forest, after the very early minyan had finished the morning prayers, I heard the sound of another human voice. I followed the sound, and I saw a Jew standing, wrapped in talis and tefillin, and praying with such fervor that I had never witnessed such fervor in my life. I hid behind some trees and derived great pleasure from the prayer of this Jew. I was in great wonder at somebody praying like this, and I thought that surely this is a tzaddik nister, a hidden saint, a hidden righteous individual, a holy individual, one of the 36, a hidden tzaddikim. The tzaddik concluded his prayer, took off his tefillin and the talis, and began to recite Tehillim, the Psalms, with a very great measure of sweetness and devotion. Afterwards, for quite a long time, the Jew continued, and he sat and learned with great pleasure and delight. After which he brought together his Sforim, his books, his holy books, and the Talis and the Tefillin, and he placed it in a sack, and he went back on the path as he's having the sack on his shoulders with a staff in his hand. At that time I went out of my hiding place and I tread toward this individual. When this man saw me, he said, "How does a small child come himself to the midst of a forest?" I answered the man and I said to him, "I like the field and forests, because here you cannot find people who are haughty or liars. I am an orphan without a father and without a mother, and my father told me before he passed on, Yisroelik, do not fear anything at all, only the Almighty Himself, and therefore I'm not afraid of the forest, as my father told me that there's nothing to fear but God Himself." The Baal Shem Tov went on to say that the conversation then ensued between myself and this man, and when the Jew found out that I am the son of Rabbi Eliezer, he took out of his sack a Talmud, the Gemara Masecht Pesachim, Tractate Pesachim, and he learned with me for quite a long time. After that, I went with this Jew without knowing where we are going. And in our wanderings, we would stop off in various cities and villages, in various towns and hamlets. And nevertheless, the name of that Jew with whom I was going, I had no idea what his name was. Every day I would learn with him. And never did I ever see him take alms and charity from anybody. And the whole time he took care of my needs. And this went on for 3 years. So this went on approximately till the Baal Shem Tov was 10 years old, for as he said, he was 5 years, he became a Yosin, 2 years he was learning in the Cheder, and then at that time, this story took place when he was 7, and it took 3 years, he was by then about 10 years old. Once when we were in a small village, a Jew said to me, not far from here, in the midst of the forest, there lives a Jew who is very, very God-fearing and a great Torah scholar, and I'm going to leave you by him for a short while. And so he did. He went with me to that house, and he gave me over to his friend, another hidden tzaddik, Rav Meir was his name, and the other individual who was with me for these past 3 years went on. For 4 years, I stayed in the house of Rav Meir in the forest, and the whole time he learned with me with great diligence. Every day he would go with me to the nearby village to daven with a minyan. Not one of the people from the village knew that Rav Meir was a great Torah genius and a hidden tzaddik. They would look at Rav Meir as if he were a simple laborer. By Rav Meir, I found out about the group of hidden tzaddikim, and also about the great Goyen and Tzaddik, Rav Odom Baal Shem Tov, who was then the head of the group, at which time I also became part of this group, and I began once again wandering from city to city, from village to village, with various tasks which the directorate of the tzaddikim would put upon me to fulfill, and I would go to these places to fulfill these tasks. When I was yet younger than 16 years old, I already had quite a strong knowledge in Kabbalah and mysticism, in Jewish mysticism, and from time to time I would pray according to the Kavanas and the intentions, and according to the Kabbalah, according to the Jewish mystical teachings of the Holy Arizal, and with the unification of the divine names, which the Tzaddik, the Chaim, taught me, and I would use this in my prayers. Once, the Baal Shem Tov went on to say, it was my birthday, which of course as the Alter Rebbe's birthday, the Baal Shem Tov's birthday, they're both on Chai El, the 18th day of El. So the Baal Shem Tov relates that once on his birthday, I was in a small village. The innkeeper where I was staying was a very simple Jew, who with great difficulty was able to pray, but didn't even know the meaning of what he was saying. He was able to utter the words with difficulty, but had no idea what the words meant. But nevertheless, he was a very God-fearing individual, and it was his custom, upon all that would transpire, and whenever it would transpire, he would say, Baruch Hu Umevirach L'Olam Vod, blessed is the Almighty, and may He be blessed forever and ever. And this was his custom, that on any event that would happen, he would always use this expression. His wife, the innkeeper's wife, was also accustomed to saying on every happening and at every time, she would say, blessed be his holy name. That day, which as mentioned earlier was my birthday, I went out privately into the field, as it says in the holy works of the earlier sages, that on the day of one's birthday, one should take time off, private time, during the day. And at that time, while I was having my private time, I said various verses and chapters of Psalms, and I was busy unifying the divine and holy names, bringing together, as it's known, as Yehudim, divine unification, something which is done only by those who are truly initiated in the Kabbalistic teachings, and they are on a level of bringing about divine unifications by reciting these divine names in their various permutations. As I was involved and lost in this task, the Baal Shem Tov continued saying, I did not feel at all that which was transpiring around me. And all of a sudden, I saw Elio Hanovi standing before me and said to me, you are toiling and laboring so hard, said Elio, in order to find the proper intentions of the unification of the divine holy names that emanate from the verses of Psalms that were ordered and by King David. And Aaron Shloime, the innkeeper, and Zlata Rivke, his wife, they do not know the divine unifications of the names that go out, that emanate from Baruch Hu Mevorech Lo'olam Vod, meaning that expression that was always used by Aaron Shloime, the innkeeper, blessed and may he be blessed forever, the Almighty, as he would always say, or may his holy name be blessed, as Zlata would always say. And nevertheless, Elio Hanovi said, their simple, wholehearted expressions makes a greater tumult and effect in the spiritual worlds above, much more than the unifications of the divine names that the great tzaddikim have in their intentions. And the Baal Shem Tov said that Elio Hanovi went on to tell him about the great pleasure and delight above that transpires when men, women, and children praise the Almighty, especially so when this praise comes from simple people, and even more particularly when they do this on a constant and ongoing manner. So when they do this regularly and constantly, then they are thereby constantly cleaving to God with pure faith and with a simplicity and wholesomeness of the heart. And with this, Elio Hanovi concluded his words to the Baal Shem Tov on the Baal Shem Tov's birthday on Chai El. The Baal Shem Tov went on to say, when I heard this, I took upon myself a path in divine service to see to it that Jews, men, women, and children should utter constantly words of praise to the Almighty, and thereby, and because of this, I would always ask my fellow Jews how things are going in their making a living, how their children are, and how they're feeling physically. And they would constantly answer me with various words of praise to the Almighty, each one according to his fashion, or as it says someplace else, it would say, Geloiv to the Leibishter, praised is God, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemoi, blessed is he, and blessed is his names. There were many, many types of expressions that were prevalent among the simple folk that were used in praise of the Almighty in their everyday vernacular and everyday speech. And when the Baal Shem Tov had heard what type of joy and delight this has above and what effect this has, he continued to see to it that as much as possible Jews do this in this manner. Another story which is told about the Baal Shem Tov, and this one is not from a Chabad source, but from a reliable sefer, where it says that there was once a story of a Polish Jew who became ill, and he had to enter a hospital, and this was a non-Jewish hospital. The Gentiles who were there would make sport of this Jew, and they gave him a lot of trouble. They made his life, as difficult as it was from the illness, they made it even worse by constantly making him problems. It once happened that an old goy, an old Gentile, came to the hospital to visit his grandchild, and while he was there, he saw this Jew who was ill, and when he saw him, he went over to him, and he treated him very, very nicely. And when he beheld how terribly he was being treated by all the other Gentiles in the hospital and the staff, and that they would make sport of him and do whatever possible to make this Jew's life miserable, so he turned to the other people who were sick, as well as to the staff, and he warned them not to make any difficulties for this Jew and not to do anything evil towards him. And he said to them, and if you were to ask me why I love the Jews so much and why I'm giving this man so much attention and why I'm warning you that for your own benefit it doesn't pay to start up with a Jew, let me tell you a story that I heard from a friend of mine who was very strongly punished for his once causing pain to a Jew, and he went on to tell them to say the story. And this is what he said. In a certain village, there lived many Jewish people. Amongst them was a young lad, who after a while became known as the rabbi of all the city, of all the inhabitants of that city, and his name was Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. Then, in his youth, he was known as Yisrolik Uchitl, a Yisrolik, the teacher of young lads. And as known, the Baal Shem Tov, while he was young, was a behelfer. He would help the main teacher taking children back and forth from Cheder. And it's known that which the Maggid of Mizrich once said, and this is an aside, but important as well, that halavai, would he only be able to kiss a Sefer Torah with a semblance and a measure of the degree of the infinite love that the Baal Shem Tov would kiss these Jewish, pure Jewish children when he would take them to Cheder and bring them from Cheder back home. The custom of this young man was every week on Friday he would go to a nearby city in order to immerse himself in the mikveh. One Friday, one of the weeks, all the shkotzim, all the young Gentiles of the village decided to get together and to torment a little bit this young lad. And when he would pass by the place where they were getting together to get upon him, that they would attack him and hit him, because after all, he's a Jew. And that was a natural reaction by these Gentiles, that if he's a Jew, then he's worthy of being tormented. That week, they followed through their plan, and they waited in the field, And as they came close to him, they were about to hit him and smite him and scream at him, a miracle happened. The earth opened up. And who did it open up under? Under that very individual, the head of that gang, who had enticed the others, and he was swallowed alive, but only half of him. Half his body was swallowed into the earth, and half of the body was outside on top. When the people in the group, or the youngsters in the group, when the gang members saw that which happened with their leader, they left, of course, the Baal Shem Tov alone, and they tried pulling out their friend, their leader, who was swallowed half up by the ground. And they all got together, and they all pulled, and they all tugged, and as much as they pulled, and as much as they tugged, it didn't help at all, nothing. It was all to no avail. And they saw, like, his body was screwed in and rooted into the ground as if he were a tree, without their being able to move him at all. And when they saw their friend having such pain, stuck in the ground like that, embedded firmly in the ground, and they could not do anything at all, they quickly ran to the nearby village to call a bunch of older, stronger Gentiles to come and save this unfortunate lad who was half in and half out of the earth. He's stuck there. Immediately, the villagers appeared, and they all, either older ones and stronger ones, tried to take out this Shegetz, to take out this Gentile boy, the gang leader, from his hole in the ground, or from his being stuck in the ground. And as much as they tried, and as much as they tried to dig around him, and try to get him out, through all means possible, they couldn't do anything at all. When they finally realize that he's really stuck, he's like a nail that's embedded firmly in the wall, they wanted to bring bigger axes and bigger shovels to dig around it, and carefully, in order to get the ground even softer, and to try to make it muddier, and all doing all these things in order to see to it that maybe we could get him out this way. And in order not to hit him with the axes and with the shovels, they decided to work around him and from the side to take him out together with the earth in which he was. Because the earth itself, they couldn't get out from him. But as soon as they began to dig, to their great astonishment and consternation, they saw that the more they dug, the deeper and deeper this guy is going into the ground. And by the time they finally came to their goyish senses, this fellow was already up to his armpits, screwed tightly into the ground. When the people saw that this was a supernatural event, because this shouldn't have been happening at all, they asked the lads, how did such a thing happen? And they told the elder people the entire story, how this guy who's our gang leader wanted to make trouble to Yisroelik the Jew, and as soon as he wanted to do something, he got stuck. When they heard the story, they all said, "Ah, this must be because Yisroelik is a holy individual, and whatever we're going to try is not going to succeed. The only thing that can possibly be done is to wait for this Jewish boy until he returns on this path, and only he, if anybody, only he can save this lad from his pit." And so it was. They're still trying to get him out, and nothing is helping, but by now they're not digging because they don't want him to get any deeper. A little deeper, and it will already be glug glug, and it would be all over for the Shegetz. And the Yisroelik, the Baal Shem, the holy Baal Shem, is coming back. seeing them from the distance, seeing him from the distance, all the people took up their feet and they began running hastily. And at their head was the father and the mother of this gang leader. And as soon as they reached where the holy Baal Shem Tov was, here still a young lad, they fell to his feet and said, we're sorry that he ever tried to start up with you. And they asked, please save our son in order that he not be swallowed up entirely. So then the Jewish boy Yisraelik said that first of all, there is a condition. That from this day onward, you've got to promise that you will never do evilly to any other Jew. But on the contrary, you've got to promise that from now on, you will help Jews at all times and in all places wherever you will meet them. And if you promise that you will act in such a fashion, then I can save you from your predicament and you'll be able to leave the earth. But still, you'll still have a punishment. And that is that the degree that you sunk into the earth when you tried to touch me, that is how high you are going to remain for the rest of your life. In other words, you're going to turn and be shrivel and turn into a midget and a little person, and this will be a remnant, and this will be a reminder of what you did, and remember, from now on, I want you to treat all Jews fairly, honorably, lovingly, and not, God forbid, to do any of them any harm. And no sooner had this gang leader, the Shegetz, promised everything that Baal Shem Tov said that he should promise, and this is how the old man finished his tale, telling this tale to the astonished people in the adjoining beds, as well as the staff members, right away this fellow popped out of the pit as if nothing had happened. And this was a miracle for all those who beheld it. And the old man concluded his tale saying, I knew this guy who was sunk in the earth. And I knew him when he grew old, and he actually grew very, very old. But his height always remained like that of a small child, as it was at the time of the Baal Shem Tov had told him that he will shrivel and he will be very, very short, the same size as he was when he came into the ground. And after this old man had finished telling the story to the assembled, he said, now I know from this story that happened with Yisraelik, what happened with the Baal Shem Tov, and he was yet a young lad, and see what happened when you start off with a Jew. I know that you mustn't make any Jew any pain and any affliction, and I'm telling you, for your own benefit, do not ever harm a Jew, ever, at all. And halavai would it have only been that this message would have been received and understood by all the other Gentiles in the world, that one should act towards Jews only with good.